My Whole Life is Thunder by Chash, read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Tortal, Song of the Lioness series. Herring, John Rowell, some Alana George. Summary. John's life doesn't actually revolve around Rowell and Alana, but sometimes it feels like it does. Sometimes it feels like it always has. When John is 4 years old, he meets Rowell Goldenlake. It's his dad's 10-year college reunion, and it's mostly really boring, just a lot of adults and talking, and no one taking John over to that table he saw with all the cookies on it. It's all very unfair. But it's a little nice, too, because his father hasn't looked so happy in a long time, probably not since his grandpa died. He has a hug for everyone, and an especially big one for the large, black-haired man he finds not far from the cookie table, followed by a man's clap on the back. Goldenlake! Conte, it's been too long! His father sobers. I know it has, I'm sorry. It's been so busy the last few years between Dad and the company and John. He smiles down at Jonathan. This is my son John, by the way. John, this is Mr. Goldenlake. We were in the same fraternity. That means he's like my brother. Nice to meet you, John, said the man squatting down. You must be what, 5 now? 4, says John, holding up his fingers. 4? Same as my Raoul. He looks up at John's dad. Of course, mine's already big as an ox. Takes up to me for size. But he's shy, like his mother. Come over here, Raoul. John sees a larger boy look over from behind his mother's leg. He has dark eyes and curly black hair. John likes him at once, even though he doesn't actually come over. He looks nice, even hiding behind his mum. I was sorry to hear about your father, he hears Mr. Goldenlake telling his dad. But he doesn't care about that. He's going over to see Raoul. Hi. He says, I'm John. Raoul, says the boy. His voice is quiet for how big he is. There's a table over there with cookies, says John. I saw it when we came in. I bet we could get some. Raoul perks up. What kind of cookies? I don't know, a lot. Chocolate chip for sure. I think double chocolate. Raoul beams and John grins back. They see each other off and on for the next few years, joint vacations at the beach and occasional holiday, now that their dads are back in touch. But Raoul's family moves to England for a few years when John's 11, and by the time they get back, the families have lost the habit of spending time together, and John doesn't see Raoul again for 7 years. When he's 15, he meets Alana Trebond, and he doesn't realise how important that is, either. He's in the library, trying to find the raunchiest book he can, when he sees a scrawny kid with shaggy red hair, sitting in the corner, surrounded by books. He knows of exactly 2 scrawny redheads who like reading. They both have the same last name, so he says, Hey, Trebond. The kid looks up, and John can see some signs of breasts and feminine features, so he tries a big smile. Girls really like his smile, and says, Alana, right? She nods. I'm Jonathan Conte, he says, offering his hand. My friends call me John. She shakes, but she looks like she's still waiting for the punchline. Or possibly the punch. He's heard she gets in a lot of fights. There's a fading ring of black around her right eye. Nice to meet you, she says. You're in here a lot, right? He asks. Yeah, she said, looking even warier. You want to help me out with a project? I'm not going to do your homework for you, she snaps, which makes him like her instantly. No wonder she gets in fights so much, with a temper that short. It's not homework. I've got a bet with my cousin Gary. I bet him I could find the dirtiest porn in the library. It's still kind of cheating, she points out, if I help you. Yeah, but if I win, I'll give you half. Alana sticks a hand out, all business. Deal. John has the smile. Deal, he says, and they shake hands again. She stands and brushes herself off. All that in poetry is really filthy, she says. Come on. He doesn't really mean to adopt Alana, but she's so tiny and stubborn and clearly alone that he can't help it. He doesn't do as well adopting her brother, but her brother doesn't really seem to want friends, whereas Alana clearly craves companionship. She just doesn't really seem to understand how to get it. John's willing to help her out. You absolutely, positively, 120% cannot sleep with her, Gary tells him. Gary likes Alana too. Why would I sleep with her? Because you always sleep with girls. You meet a girl, talk to her for 20 seconds, and you've already decided you want to sleep with her. Well, I've known Alana for more than 20 seconds, says John, and I don't always do that. You can't sleep with her. I can't believe you have so little faith in me. I can't believe you're refusing to just say I won't sleep with Alana. I shouldn't have to say it. You should trust me. John, I've known you since birth, says Gary. There's one thing I know, it's not to trust you. He gives John a pointed look. She's a good kid. I know. I like her. And you still haven't said it. Well, you have me thinking about it, John protests. She's cool. What if I someday... John, unless you're prepared to marry that girl, you will not sleep with her. Am I clear? You're clear, says John, and Gary nods. John does not point out that he did not actually say he wouldn't sleep with Alana. It's not his responsibility to point out Gary's failures. Not until Gary is yelling at him about it. Of course, he wasn't actually planning to sleep with Alana. Really, he wasn't. He just didn't like the way Gary was insinuating he might. And he never likes to rule things out. But Alana is his best friend. He doesn't sleep with his best friends. And then he does. It's not like it's an accident, not exactly. It will go on to be one of the biggest regrets of his life. But it just starts off as, well, Alana being his best friend. It's his junior year, 2 days before Thanksgiving. Gary and Francis have already gone home, so just him and Alana in their suite. She's not supposed to be in there, even with other people. But Alana's known how to sneak into his room forever. She's not big on rules. She's also miserable. Just come home with me, says John. That would go over really well, she says, lying on his bed with one arm over her eyes. Sorry, Father, I got a better offer from that guy you hate. Tom's worried he's going to disown me if he finds out. Seems extreme. You've never met my father. He doesn't even care, that's the worst part. If I didn't show up, there's a pretty good chance he wouldn't even notice. He won't come down for Thanksgiving dinner, he won't talk to us. But God forbid he finds out I skipped out, because then he'll want to know where I was, and there'll be hell to pay, she sniffs. And John gets up the line next to her, worried. It's not a big deal, she says fiercely. I know, he says, and pulls her in for a hug. She rolls into him, rubbing her arms back around him slowly. She's not very used to physical affection. He and Gary are working on it. I'm sorry. It's okay, she says, a little muffled by his shirt. He strokes her back and they stay there for a while, until Alana starts to hesitantly nuzzle his neck. John doesn't know if she means it as a come-on, or if she just starts doing it unconsciously, but he takes it as one, and pulls her up to kiss her, because that's what you do when someone nuzzles your neck. And then it's all fumbling and touching, and he probably should have stopped it at some point. But it's Alana, and she's lovely. And if he isn't the first one to sleep with her, it'll probably be some asshole who doesn't care about her at all. Later, he will think that he didn't really screw it up until the next morning, when Alana tried to kiss him, and he panicked, ruffled her hair, and told her to get dressed, they'd miss breakfast. At the time, it seemed like the best way to deal with an awkward situation. It wasn't like they were going to have sex again. It was a fluke. So he just played it off, and they went to breakfast. And she acted like she was happy with this situation, too. Later, he will find out that he broke her heart. So... I did that thing you told me not to do, he tells Gary, when he calls to wish him a happy Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving part is mostly a ruse, he just needs to talk to someone, and Gary's his best option. You'll have to narrow it down. The thing with Alana. There's a long pause. Gary is in Colorado with the grandparents he doesn't share with John for Thanksgiving, and John is in New York with his only non-Gary grandparents. He's very lucky this is a year when they aren't together for the holidays, although he supposes that if they had been, he might not have slept with Alana. Either way, he thinks it's probably too far for Gary to actually drive down to murder him. I could fly down to murder you, Gary says, apparently coming to the same conclusion. You'd have to fly into Albany, John says. You hate Albany. I hate you. Is she okay? Of course she's okay. What do you think I did to her? I think you're the worst person possible for her to sleep with. There is no way that's true. You shouldn't have done it. I didn't mean to. That just makes it worse. John scrubbed his face. Look, it's fine. We had breakfast. We hung out. It was normal. Nothing bad happened. Then why are you calling me? Gary is too smart for his own good. I don't know. You feel guilty. I don't feel guilty. We had sex. Sex is awesome. She enjoyed herself. I'm glad I made sure her first time was great. Now, if other guys don't get her off, she'll know they aren't worth her time. So, shut up. A strong argument, Gary sighs. If I had to choose between you and her, I'm picking her. You don't have to pick, and we're related. You can't decide not to be related to me anymore. He sighs again. Just be prepared to marry her, okay?
I'm prepared, says John.
And it's not even a lie. He's not planning to ever get married. But if Alana needed a green card or a father for her baby, or there was some wacky plain-to-be-marry situation, he'd be there with bells on. She's my best friend, you know.
You're not emotionally equipped to be anyone's best friend.
No, John admits. But I am anyway. Happy Thanksgiving, Gary. I'm going to punch you in the face next time I see you.
That seems fair.
John finds out why Gary was so upset almost a year later.
You never date, he observes to Alana. It's a shame. She's great. She should have a great boyfriend.
Neither do you, she says, looking at him.
Well, no, but I have a sex life. You don't date or have a sex life. I should set you up with someone. Is anyone in your grade not an idiot?
Tom, she says dryly, but we're related.
Seriously, he says, poking her with his foot. You should get a boyfriend.
I don't want a boyfriend.
Why not? I hear they're fun. I've never tried it myself.
I only just got over having a crush on you. I don't want another. Alana snaps, and John can see the exact second she realizes what she said and regrets it.
Me? He asks.
He thought Alana knew better. Plenty of girls have crushes on him. He's not being egotistical. He knows it's true. Some of them tell him. Some of them are very obvious. And he's sure there are some of them he never knows about. But she never imagined Alana would be one of them. I'm over it, she says. It's not a big deal.
Did you? He starts.
They haven't ever really talked about the time they slept together. They just go on like it never happened.
When we... Did you have...
Yes, she says shortly. We don't have to talk about it.
But I...
Would it have changed anything if you knew? She asks. Violet eyes intense on him.
I wouldn't have slept with you, he says, and instantly knows it's the wrong thing.
She wants to hear that he would have dated her, that it would have meant something more to him. But John's not that guy. She slumps back. Thought not, that's why I didn't tell you.
Alana,
it's fine, she says. And that's not why I don't date, so don't get all stupid about it. I just haven't met anyone I like. And you don't date either, so it's kind of hypocritical of you to tell me to get out there. I'm fine.
Well, John says awkwardly. Just tell me there is anyone you like, he says. So I can make sure he's good enough for you.
She rolls her eyes. I have a brother, you know. I don't need another.
Two more, John corrects. Gary will want to make sure too. Just remember, I'm only 40 minutes away, John texts Alana.
He's pretty sure this is not what he's supposed to be doing now that he's at college, but Alana's just finished her first day of school and already has texted him about three kids she wants to beat up.
When in doubt, call me. Do not start punching people.
Stop worrying, she texts back. And then, of course, what's wrong with punching people?
You're not helping.
Stop being a mother hen and enjoy college. I'm fine. He's on his way to his dad's old frat house for the first rush event. He falls into step with a tall guy with curly black hair who looks weirdly familiar. John squints at him till he notices and frowns, clearly confused by the scrutiny.
Can I help you? He asks. His voice is surprisingly soft.
John grins and launches himself at the guy.
Raoul!
Raoul barely catches him.
Dude, it's John!
Raoul lets him go and stares at him. He blushes like he's embarrassed he didn't recognize John, which is stupid. It's been 7 years. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. John is just great with faces. It is yet another reason he is a naturally great politician.
John Conte? What's up? Are you rushing? Oh man, please tell me you're rushing. We can be bros. I mean, obviously we're already bros. Bros are forever, but seriously, this is awesome. How have you been? What's your number? Do you have Snapchat? You need to get Snapchat.
Raoul is laughing. Good to see you too, John. John flings his arm around Raoul's shoulders, which is a little awkward, because Raoul is a few inches taller than he is, but he doesn't care. It's Raoul. He missed Raoul.
So, how the last 7 years been? He asks.
And just like that, they're friends again.
Double date, he tells Raoul.
He's never seen Raoul on a date. This is something he needs to correct.
You and me. Two girls from that sorority across the street, the love bikinis. You can have whichever one you want.
Raoul barely glances up.
I'm busy. You're clearly not. That looks like homework. That doesn't count.
He flops down next to Raoul on the bed.
Double date. Double dates are awesome. You keep trying to convince me of this. I still don't believe you. Please, says John. Raoul sighs and runs his hand through his hair. Close the door, will you? John frowns. He gets up and goes over to close the door, cocking his head at Raoul.
What?
Look, it's not a big deal. I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want the rest of the frat to know, he says. He reminds John of Alana suddenly. Not as irritable, but the same kind of stubbornness, the same determinedly casual way they talk about their feelings. Like they're hoping he won't notice that they have them. He really hopes Alana comes here next year. They'd get along great.
I'm gay, he says.
John blinks.
Oh. I should have told you, he says, before you agreed to room with me. If this changes anything, I... Dude, says John, no way!
He slings his arm around Raoul and kisses his temple like he would if he really was Alana. Or well, Alana before he found out she had a crush on him. He's still not quite back to easy affection with her, but he's getting there.
I don't care, it's cool. I will no longer try to set you up with girls.
Or boys, says Raoul. I'm not really interested in dating right now, and I don't want anyone to know. I don't like attention. John sighs exaggeratedly.
God, you're going to love my best friend Alana. Not in a romantic way, he adds quickly. Just, you guys are really going to get along. She always tells me that, and I try to set her up too.
You're a weird guy, John.
See, that's just what she'd say.
John meets George Cooper on his 21st birthday and thinks very seriously about trying to sleep with him.
I mean, that's something everyone should try once, right?
Not sure, says George. I've met some people who are very definitely straight, or very definitely gay, very definitely attracted to only one gender.
I guess, says John, but I don't think I am. I am like 75% girls, but there's 25% that might be, you know.
Bicurious, George supplies. The word you're looking for is bicurious. You're pretty drunk.
Well, it's my birthday. You're supposed to get pretty drunk on your birthday.
It is your birthday. George clinks his glass of water against John's beer. Happy birthday. I'm not going to sleep with you.
Fair enough, says John. I want to keep coming back here. It might be weird if we slept together. Or it might not. Sometimes it's not.
He looks up at George.
Why am I turning 21 before all my friends? And why did you bust Raoul for his fake ID?
Because it was obviously fake, and I don't want to get arrested, says George. Get older friends or better fake IDs, or it's just going to be you and me, darling.
And you're not planning to sleep with me?
I don't think so, no, but thanks for asking.
John nods.
Good call. You are wise, bartender.
George snorts. I'd try anyway.
Raoul's 21st birthday is a month and a half after John's, so John figures maybe he can sleep with George. He feels like someone should sleep with George. George is a cool dude.
Got another fake ID for me? He asks when John and Raoul come in.
Gary is, in fact, working very hard on a fake ID that will fool George. He's upset by how fast he caught the last ones. If he ever perfects it, and they figure out how to get Alana out here without making a scene, she'll be the first to get one.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday, says Raoul, handing over his license.
Well, happy birthday, says George, once he's passed inspection. They're about the same height, which seems like it would probably be convenient. Not that John has ever made out with anyone the same height he is, but just in general, it seems like a plus.
Thanks, says Raoul. This is George, John says. George is gay.
I'm not, in point of fact, George says. I'm bi, thanks.
Oh, well, this is George. He's bi.
Not usually how I start introductions, he remarks, offering Raoul his hand, but nice to meet you, Raoul.
I'm going to let you two get to know each other while I play Buck Hunter and get wasted,
John declares. He claps Raoul on the shoulder.
Enjoy.
You get through two games before Raoul comes over.
What exactly was your plan here? He asks. Well, I was going to hunt bucks for a while, says John. Then I was going to go home.
And you were hoping I'd go home with the bartender?
Well, he's cool, right?
Raoul rolls his eyes. I still don't want a boyfriend. John waggles his eyebrows.
Who said anything about a boyfriend?
A hookup, either, says Raoul. Move over, I want to play too.
He doesn't think of George as a match for Alana until she gets the flu and George brings soup. John sort of stares at it, and then pokes Tupperware container on the bar. It doesn't do anything.
Watch this, he asks. Why are you giving it to me?
It's soup, says George. He's not quite meeting John's eyes.
Not for you. It's for Alan. You said he was sick, yeah? I had the flu last winter. My mom made me this soup. Worked wonders.
You're giving me soup.
I'm giving Alan soup. You better not eat it. You're not sick.
Why are you giving Alan soup?
He's sick.
George finally looks at him.
I like Alan, he adds, almost defiantly.
I like Alan too. He's a good kid.
He is, George agrees. Tell him I hope he feels better. And give him the soup. On the way back to the frat, he tells Raoul,
I think George likes Alana.
George doesn't know Alana, Raoul points out. If he likes anyone, he likes Alan.
Well, then he likes Alan, he says, and holds up the soup. He brought her soup because I said she was sick.
You don't sound thrilled.
Well, I don't know. He's old and... I don't know.
Raoul frowns.
Didn't you want me to sleep with him?
Yeah, but that's different. Because Alana's your favorite person in the world, I know. There's something off in Raoul's tone, but John can't place it. He narrows his eyes at Raoul.
That's not why, he says.
He doesn't usually rank his favorite people. He knows that if he did, Raoul and Alana would be at the top of the list, but he doesn't know who would come first. Not that he needs to. Unless they're both about to be shot or something and he can only save one of them. It will never matter.
It's because I'm the one who broke her heart, he says. I'm the reason she's the way she is about dating. And I think if she gets another bad one, she'll probably never recover. So I've got to be careful. I can't let just anyone date her.
Raoul's quiet for a long time. That's not your call, he finally says. But George is a good guy. He's not just anyone.
And he wouldn't sleep with me, John muses, so he's not just easy either.
Raoul chokes.
When did that come up?
I hit on him the first time I was there.
Why?
John shrugs.
I don't know. He's kind of... He's got something.
A penis.
That too. But I could be into that. I slept with this one girl a few times she was... Please don't finish that thought. Anyway, according to George, I'm bi-curious, and he seems to be the expert.
Raoul is quiet again. If he liked Alana, he'd probably be good for her. But he might not like Alana.
Of course he would, John says. He already likes Alan, and he likes women. I don't see the problem.
There are lots of problems, says Raoul.
Don't try to set them up, okay? Just let it be. It's really not your business. It'll happen if it happens.
John sighs.
Do I have to give her the soup?
Yes, you have to give her the soup.
And can I beat him up if he hurts her?
I doubt it, says Raoul.
I think he's probably pretty good in a fight. Maybe both of us.
Raoul gives him a dubious look.
Well, maybe Alana helped too.
At age 22, the closest John Conte has come to a relationship is sleeping with the same girl 4 times over the course of 2 days. He was in Maui and she was a yoga instructor. It was an excellent 2 days and he remembers it fondly. But that's it. John doesn't date. Then the graduation party happens. John was planning to be completely blitzed, but for once, he's not actually in the mood to get drunk. He thinks it might have something to do with Alana showing up with George Cooper, how close they are, and how much they touch, and how much George makes her smile. It makes him feel too large for his skin, somewhere between proud and melancholy. It's not that he wants Alana, it's just that it hurts a little, to see someone else making her so happy. He still feels like that's his job. The two of them leave early, and John watches them go from a table in the corner while he nurses a vodka tonic.
Please tell me you aren't jealous, says Gary, sitting down on John's right.
Raoul sits down on his left.
She's happy. You aren't allowed to stand outside her window with a boombox saying you've changed your mind. Not now.
I would never try that, says John. If she didn't kill me, Theodore Bury would.
He leans against Raoul.
I'm not jealous, I'm just... I think this is how fathers feel when their children grow up. As creepy as I'm sure that sounds. Also, graduation and shit. I've got a lot going on. I'm deep. I have layers, just like Shrek.
Of course you do, says Gary.
He sighs.
This is getting too more than for me. Raoul, you're on boombox duty. Don't let him anywhere near one. Or an MP3 player with speakers. Or Snapchat. I just don't want him to send me any Snapchats.
I am not going to do anything stupid, says John. I'm not, and have never been in love with Alana.
Not convinced that's true, says Gary. He bumps Raoul's fist and leaves.
You believe me, right?
I honestly have no idea whatever goes on in your head, says Raoul. But I believe you're happy for Alana.
Well, at least there's that.
He starts to sit up, to move away from Raoul. And that's when Raoul turns and kisses him. It's quick and completely chaste. It almost seems like an accident. But Raoul's not like that. Raoul's never been like that. John stares at him for a minute, and Raoul looks back, steady and serene and strangely resigned. It's too much for John to pass, so he just leans in, slow enough to give Raoul time to stop him, and kisses him again, for real. Raoul slides his hands up into John's hair, keeping him close, and they stay there for what feels like hours, never going any farther than just kissing. Finally, Raoul pulls back, swallows visibly, and says,
I should get home.
John nods.
Yeah, me too.
After Raoul leaves, though, he lies down on the floor, staring at the ceiling, and must eventually fall asleep there, although he doesn't know when. He doesn't feel any less weird when he wakes up the next morning.
You know what I thought when I found out Alana used to have a crush on me? John asks a week later.
He's ready for this. He's sure. Raoul looks nervous. They haven't really talked since the whole kissing thing. John's a little surprised he even showed up.
As I've mentioned, I never know what you think. I couldn't believe she didn't know better.
He bumps his shoulder against Raoul's.
You're like that, but even more.
Thanks, says Raoul, looking down. And John thinks he probably picked the wrong way to approach this.
I was going to ask you on a date, he says. But I've never dated anyone. I don't know what it's... He waves vaguely. I have no idea how it works. I was thinking we could just make out a lot. And I wouldn't have sex with anyone but you until you wise up and dump me. We could also go to restaurants if you want. And movies. I will be drunk at the movies and probably at the restaurants. You know me.
Raoul stares at him agape for a long minute.
You're serious, he says finally.
Yeah.
So... I better be right that you want this. I even asked Alana. She'll make fun of me if I'm wrong.
You asked Alana?
If I should date you. Not how dating works. I probably should have asked her that too.
I don't think we have to do it right, says Raoul, looking down with a blush. And that's all the encouragement John needs. He pulls him in for another kiss because he's been thinking about kissing Raoul all week.
Everyone's going to see, he murmurs, but they're still kissing. Is that a problem?
John nuzzles his jaw. He's so definitely bi-curious.
I'm not subtle.
No, says Raoul. He's a little pink.
I always figured I'd come out if I ever got a boyfriend.
Raoul's a private guy, but if he liked John, he must have been prepared for a bit more of the spotlight. John's bad at staying out of the spotlight.
Well, you've got one now, says John,
and kisses him again. Raoul has no objections this time. When John is 22, he gets his first and only boyfriend. And his best friend gets her first and only boyfriend too. It's a pretty good year, all things considered. And he's pretty sure the best is yet to come. The end. Thank you for listening.